Okay. Hello, guys. Hi. Welcome back to my podcast. If you have, in fact, listened to the first episode, or welcome if you are new here and perhaps randomly stumbled upon this on the internet and you have no idea who I am. So in this podcast, we talk a lot about life, psychology topics, things that people don't tend to say out loud because we dive deep. We dive deep into our subconscious. We dive into the patterns, the behavioral patterns of this and this follows this and this thinking pattern. And perhaps if we didn't think in this way, then this wouldn't have occurred. We really, on this podcast, as I mentioned in the first episode, I really invite you to be incredibly open and transparent with yourself. I invite you to really bring any sort of opinion that you may have. This is a safe place for all people, all kinds of people. This is not a place for if Rochelle says one thing, then you have to agree with me. And if you don't see it the way that I do, then you're wrong. This is the place where we can challenge one another and you can challenge me on my thought and say, hey, you know, maybe you kind of have that a little bit skewed. I don't really necessarily agree with where you are going there, but I respect your opinion and let's just try to listen to one another. This is a safe space for that type of thinking and for us to appropriately, respectfully challenge one another. So in this one, I'm going to be talking about the topic of empathy and what it's like to be a human being of naturally very empathic nature. And my daily struggle with it, to be very honest with you. So let's get started. When it comes to the topic of empathy, this is something that I can go very simply with, or I could dive right in, honey, because it is so simplistic and so complicated for me personally at the same time. And the reason that I say that is because it's my personality. So for me, it's simple. It creates no thought. It creates no confusion. But to effectively articulate that to the average person who doesn't have as complicated and as overly analytical of a brain as I do, I might sound a little bit crazy. Which is fine. Craziness is allowed. I mean, the appropriate, non-threatening type of crazy is allowed. So I could go so simply or I could go so complex with this. And let's just see exactly where I dive in. So if I guess, were to describe the term empathy, I feel like first off, empathy is one of those words that is very commonly thrown around in this social media, technology in our face, Twitter in our face generation of, you know, just everything being toxic and everything being abusive and every just people think in black and white nowadays. And what happens, what's wrong with that is nothing in this world is black or white. It's always in the gray. And I credit my new therapist. I just started seeing a therapist for the second time in my life since age 20. And she really shoved that in my brain unintentionally. And now I freaking see everything in the gray. I don't see anything in black and white. And being an empath goes into the gray also. So I feel like when you think the word empath or empathy, you think of the typical, you know, millennial generation saying, I'm an empath. This relationship is toxic. You're abusive. When really you just didn't reply to a text. That doesn't make you an abusive person. You're just fucking crazy. Now, from my particular definition and my daily struggles with being an empath, here is my definition. And I've never asked myself this, by the way. So this is just the first thing that comes to my mind right now as I speak, is basically an overwhelming and wholeheartedly pure and loving and caring attitude for wanting to shield other people from the same pain that you felt. And so what I mean by that is, you know, not every single person in this world, I would argue it's very, very rare to have this personality type. Very few people in this world overthink their actions. Very few people in this world put the pieces together in topics and subjects that normal, regular, daily people don't even think twice about. For people who are empathic, we are so terrified of pain and we're so horrified by the idea of anybody feeling even close to the loneliness and the close to the pain that we felt that we do anything to make other people feel safe. Safety is the word that I feel describes this feeling that I'm wanting to talk about the most perfectly, the feeling of safety. We are people who are naturally empathic nature, do everything to make other people feel safe. And it's not a skill that most people are good at, to be honest. And so what happens is when somebody is sad, a regular person without much, and I don't say this in a rude or derogatory way. I actually say it in a very complimentary way because I fucking wish I could be this way. I wish I could just be regular and normal, but I'm a fucking weirdo and my thought processes are very unusual and very over-analytical, but that's just my brain. The average person sees somebody sad or their friend contacts them to say that they're sad and they need someone to vent to. The average person says, "I'm sorry. That sucks. Wow. Well, I'm not sure what to say exactly, but I'm here for you. I'm not sure how to help you, but I'm here for you." Or this is like one of my favorite lines. "I'm here if you need anything." I'm here if you need anything. Now, I believe you. If you were to tell me right now, and like I said, I encourage a lot of challenging thoughts. I encourage for us to challenge one another. If you were to tell me right now that you say, when you say, "I am here for you," or "whenever you need me, I'm here," whatever that your freaking stupid regular line is, if you were to tell me that you genuinely mean that when you say it, I would believe you. I would. But from just my own intuition and my personality type, I feel like when people say average comments like that, to me, it tells me that you don't actually care. Because if you cared, you would dive into why that person is sad. You would give them permission to speak. You would give them permission to vent. You would allow open and honest conversations and communication, to be like put thrown your way. And even though it makes you a little bit uncomfortable because you're not used to vulnerability all the time, because you don't think of the world in a vulnerable way, you don't think of your thoughts in a vulnerable way, it might be a little bit uncomfortable hearing someone's pain, but you're still allowing it to happen. Does that make sense? But for the majority of people, they can't even get themselves to think that way for even a second or to allow those thoughts for even a second because they are so terrified of how to respond. They are so terrified of how they're going to answer back. And because they're so overwhelmed by the concept of vulnerability, it tells me that you care more about yourself and about shielding and protecting yourself from actually listening to the person who feels lonely or feels isolated or feels confused or doesn't know what to do in life or doesn't know what step to take. It tells me that you don't actually give a fuck about that person and helping them. You care about convincing yourself that you're a good person because you're like, "Oh, well, I'll be there for you if you need anything. Okay, well, now this person needs somebody and you're not there for them." So it tells me that you prioritize telling yourself that you're a good person rather than actually being one and acting like one. Does that make sense? And maybe some of you feel very triggered right now because it's true. I'm speaking from my eyes and my perception, my life experience. I'm speaking fucking truth. And anything that has some form of truth and makes somebody feel attacked, it's because you know that person's right. So if you're currently completely apathetic and you're like, "That didn't trigger me at all. I get what you're saying, but it didn't trigger me. I just personally sometimes don't know what to say." You're wrong, Rochelle. I care. I do care about people when they come to me. I do care about people. I just don't know how to help. So you're wrong, Rochelle. If that's your opinion or your opinion is anywhere along the lines of that, please contact me personally. We can have a discussion because I would love to hear about that. But that is personally my thoughts on people who are not empaths, essentially non-empathic, and just like the regular average person. And again, I say that in a very complimentary way. I say that in a sense of, I wish I could be like you, but I can't be. So for my perception and my own life experience, I always know exactly what to say. And again, for the 50, I'm going to repeat myself probably 50 times when I say, I don't say that in a superior or narcissistic or I'm better than anybody else way. I say that as actually a self-deprecating way. I fucking wish that I could just be the average brain who isn't over-analytical, who doesn't think too fucking much about why this and this and this and why this cashier looked at you a certain way or why this person smiled or this person did this and this and this time. I wish I could just be ignorant, because ignorance is definitely bliss, but I can't be. So from my perception, my personal experience, walking through life every day in my lens, in my body, in my soul, I happen to be one of those people who is unhealthily emotionally aware, intellectually aware. I am too aware of everything and everyone, and I will guess, I will meet somebody for 5 minutes and they'll start talking about like their parents' divorce or something, and whatever, or like whatever sad story, or like they'll tell me that they have a similar relationship to something as I have, like a, maybe like a similar eating disorder story that I've had, or their life story with cultural difference is similar to my story. Something about them, they will start talking and I fucking knew in my brain that that person had that story. I knew that I could tell that they had issues in that department. I could tell that they don't know who they are. I can tell that they're incredibly secure with who they are. I can tell that their parents treated them like shit. I can tell that they were in an abusive relationship. I can tell, like, I can depict and I intuitively can figure out just by talking to someone for a couple minutes. Some people have that natural skill and intellect. And it's a fucking double-edged sword to be so aware of everything and everyone. Because, again, this isn't a good thing. The person will tell me, and in my mind, I already knew. I already could feel that they had that problem. Why? Because there's something within them that I have been through. I got it. I understood it. I felt their pain because I have been the same way. And so what happens after that? What happens when people start to become comfortable with... So I'm going to give you an example of... this has happened to me in maybe 4 to 5 friendships. The last, I would say, throughout college. And I wouldn't say that's happened throughout grad school. No, I mean, I've only been in grad school for 2 semesters, but no, I would not say it has happened to me in grad school. But through the 4 years of undergrad college, it happened to me with multiple friendships. So I become close to somebody, right? I end up in a close friendship with a new person. And so because we become close, they start to feel comfortable telling me things. They start to feel comfortable opening themselves up. And so what happens is they decide in their mind subconsciously that whenever they go to Rochelle, or they go to, I don't want to say my name, so let's say like Mary. Okay, just basic name. So Mary and Sheila are really close friends. And Sheila is... because people do things, they act from their subconscious. Most people in this world who are not overly analytical, not overly empathic, they do things without even thinking about it. They want A, they want X, they want this. So they think immediately, their brain tells them what they can do to get that thing. And that's it. They don't overly think. So people act from their subconscious. So Sheila is now identifying subconsciously that the more she talks to Mary, the more that every single time she goes to Mary to talk about her problems, Mary makes her feel good. Mary provides her positive emotions. Mary provides her with feeling safe. And so what happens? She feels unsafe. She feels unloved. She feels lonely. She feels disconnected. So she goes to Mary. And then 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 she goes to Mary. Because it's like people can seriously be addicting. People can be drug-like because it boosts your endorphins. It gets serotonin and dopamine shot up in your brain when you go to a person who makes you feel safe and makes you feel like home. And so every time you go to that person, you know that your brain chemicals are going to shoot up and you're going to be in a better mood. And after you guys have like a little vent session and after Mary makes Sheila feel safe, then they can start actually just enjoying the company of like laughing and making jokes and going out to eat and getting a drink and like actually having fun. So any time that Sheila goes to Mary, whether she's happy or sad, she knows that she's going to get positive emotions out of it. And in turn, that's going to make her feel better. Long story short, it's going to make her feel better being around that person. So the more that this happens, the more the subconscious inside of Sheila knows that Mary is the perfect friend to go to whenever she's feeling down. Now, however, simultaneously, when it's reversed and Mary needs the person to talk to, Mary is feeling those sad emotions. Mary needs a more unbiased opinion than her own biases toward things because she's in an emotional state or whatever. When she needs somebody, Sheila can't provide her with what Mary needs because Mary will talk to Sheila. I don't know why I picked the name Sheila, by the way. It was genuinely the first thing that came to my mind. Mary will speak to Sheila and Sheila will say something that is dry, that is unhelpful, that is unproductive. So she'll say something like, "I'm sorry, that sucks. I'm always here if you need me. If you need anything, I got you." What's another good one? Or Mary will be crying. Mary will be crying. And Sheila will go, "Are you okay? Are you okay? What's wrong?" And what happens then to Mary? Mary feels like no matter who she goes to, nobody can provide her with that sort of safety that she provides for other people. Because all she wants for someone to do is to listen and to hear her. Because believe it or not, I find that a lot of YouTubers and people who do like internet jobs for money and social media entrepreneurship, that kind of thing, they'll say things to their followers on Instagram story, on YouTube videos. They'll be like, "You guys are like my friends. I fucking love you guys. You know, I'm proud of you today. I'm proud of you today." But what I want to tell these YouTubers and social media people is that that doesn't help your followers because it's so fucking impersonal. It's so impersonal to tell someone you've never met through a screen who lives on the opposite side of the country or perhaps in a different country in the world and who just is listening to your YouTube video to tell them, "I'm proud of you. I love you. You're my friend." You're not friends because there's no interaction that is mutual. There's no, you know, it's like one person, it's a one-sided conversation. One person is listening to the other person's YouTube video, but the other person is not, they're not getting their needs met in the same way. So that is essentially what's going on between Mary and Sheila. Mary can't go to anybody to get her needs met the same way she knows how to meet other people's needs. That is what it's like to be an empath. That is what it's like to live every day as an empath because you always know exactly what to say. It's not a skill that can be taught. And again, I have to remind you guys, I don't say this in a superior, I am better than people, I am smarter than people. I say this as I am unusually, uniquely aware for my own good. And I wish that I could just see things in a way that is general and literal and not a big deal. But I overthink and I overanalyze so many things because I look at the root of it. So even like me going, this happens to me all the fucking time. I will tell somebody something and I never vent about my feelings to anybody. And I'm not trying to be insulting if you're in my life and you're listening to this, but genuinely, if you're my friend or you're a family member of mine, you know that I never go to anyone for any of my problems. Like, it is rare if you hear Rochelle be sad about something to you, or if you hear or see Rochelle cry. That is very, very, very rare. And the reason why is because I know if I go to somebody, I am never going to get an appropriate response. I am never going to get someone who knows what the fuck to say. I am never going to get some, like, the worst feeling in my mind is going to somebody and knowing how they're going to react, knowing exactly how they're going to react. And then you just feel utterly stupid that you brought it up to them to begin with. For instance, this is something I think about to this day with this one person. I can't say who it is or what it's about because then if they ever come across this, their feelings are really going to be hurt because I know that they have good intentions. They just don't have the awareness and they don't have the skill for it. But I was 21 and I was so, so upset about something that happened to me. It had to do with a medical issue that I was experiencing, like health problem that I had. And I was going to this, it was one of those really vulnerable situations that you can't just tell anyone. It's very embarrassing. It's very personal and something that you tend to keep to yourself. And so I told and confided in somebody who is supposed to make me feel safe, is supposed to make me feel like home. And their literal verbatim reaction was, well, there's nothing you can do. So you can't do anything about it. So like, I don't know what you want me to say. Verbatim, multiple times. And this health issue took me, and I cope with it to this day, every single day. I cope with it, I live with it, I hurt from it, and nobody knows. So this particular person was somebody that is supposed to make you feel safe, and that was their literal reaction of, well, you can't do anything about it, so like, I don't know what you want me to tell you. It's freaking disgusting. Because when people think in that light, what it tells me is they understand, and again, this is my brain being over analytical, but it tells me that they understand that they have close to no fucking clue about how to help. So that translates to defensive attitude. They're being defensive because they're scared of hurting your feelings, or they're scared of, oh my God, I don't know how to help. So I just, oh my God, I want this conversation to end. I want this person to stop bringing it up. I want this person to not be sad. But oh my God, can they just stop talking? Because I don't fucking know how to help them. That is how it translates to me or to the person that's on the other side. Because especially in, they're right, there wasn't anything I could do about that health issue. There wasn't anything I could do. So what I needed to hear was support and love and safety. I needed to hear, I totally understand. It must be so disappointing that you went through this, this, and this, and this health issue for now another health issue to develop, and you're left here feeling stuck. I totally understand. Come here, let me give you a hug. That sucks. It's awful. How about we go, when you're feeling better, we go grab a coffee or like go get a hot chocolate or something. Let's go shopping or just something. Like, I'm thinking of ideas of what that person could have said based upon their own personality. You know, that would have been a million and one times more appropriate than basically making me feel like fucking shit and completely idiotic for bringing it up in the first place to somebody who I am supposed to feel close to and supposed to feel safe with. So that is an example that is very, obviously very vast, because I can't get into the intricacies of it, but it is an example of how empaths never get reciprocated energy. People with empathic, loving, caring, extremely safe and coddling and kind nature, we never get the same thing back, ever. You know, like, I am so sick and fucking tired of hearing the "are you okay's" and the "what's wrong's" and the "I don't know what to tell you" or if you need me, I'm here for you. If you ever need anything, if you ever need anything, I'm here for you. And then "ever" means at any point in time. So in 3 months, you contact them with some sad story. And again, "I'm sorry. I don't know what to say exactly, but I'm here for you. It's so utterly obnoxious. Because that tells me that I just shouldn't have brought anything up to you to begin with. And I think that there are very, very few people who know how to say these words in a very safe way. And one of them I'm thinking is one of my best friends, Mel. Mel, I fucking love you if you're listening to this. We've been friends since we were 14 or 15 from high school. Mel is one of the few people where if I ever need anything, I know I will get a response of compassion and kindness. You know, and I know that, like, some things, like, I don't, keep in mind, I want to make this also very clear. Almost nothing in life has a solution. When we're depressed or we're lonely or we're sad or we're uncomfortable or we feel disconnected, there's almost never a solution, because the solution deals with angles that are out of our control. You know, if you're, for instance, if you're like in an abusive situation with a friendship or a romantic partner, or if you move to a new place or you start a new school, or you know, because that's commonly in my graduate psychology classes, that's like a common thing that people always talk about. Oh, we're all at a new school. We all don't know each other. You know, like, grad school just started. How are you adjusting? So a lot of people are unhappy in grad school, myself included, because they don't feel connected. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm getting over being sick. I was sick the whole weekend. And so I understand that most things in this case, like, if you're saying, like, "I feel lonely," well, a new friend is not just going to pop up on your doorstep. A new friend isn't just going to knock on your door and ask to be friends. Or if someone is, you know, you're trying to get over somebody or something, like you're going through a breakup and you're trying to get over that person, there's not really anything in particular that somebody can do a magic spell on you and give you a new friend or give you a new girlfriend or boyfriend. It's not that simple. So there's no reason for people to feel like they have to say everything perfectly. I want to make that very, 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 very clear that you don't need to say anything perfectly, because if you did, then life would be so easy that we wouldn't even need to talk to one another to begin with, because you would have already known the solution. Okay, well, let's go to the local coffee shop. Let's pick up the first person that we see and make it and feel connected, make a new connection. Boom. That person's a new permanent person in our lives, or that new work friend is, you know, replacing the old best friend you had, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, life is not that simple. And if it was that simplistic and that easy to come up with a solution, then we wouldn't even need to vent. We probably wouldn't even need to go to therapy. Because we would have all the answers. There would be an answer and a solution to everything. So the point of talking to people is not just for solutions. It's for people to understand that, and keep in mind, I mean, this applies to a million different things. So there are some cases where people overstep boundaries. People think, like, if they talk about the same thing over and over and over and over and they get angry, that the person is resistant now. You know, an example is like, I was in a very abusive friendship to point that, like, don't feel bad for me. It's just facts. It's just the fact I went suicidal because of it, because I lost my character. This person convinced me that everything about me was wrong. Every text that I responded to was wrong. Every time I didn't answer right away, every time I did certain things, the way that, you know, I even, like, had my room, like, if, like, my bed wasn't made, I was wrong. She cussed at me. She screamed at me. She cussed at me when I was on vacation with my family. Like, this is the one person that I wish I never met in my entire life. Like, I'm terrified for the next person that she does this to, because 21 to 22 year old me, like, when I first turned 22, that's when I started to heal from it. But, like, I was completely suicidal because I lost my power and I lost myself for it temporarily during it. And so this girl is a, like, complete outlier situation, because she would go to me and be like, Blank isn't texting me back. Blank hasn't watched my Snapchat story. Blank still hasn't texted me. He still hasn't watched my story. I'm crying. I'm screaming hyperventilating in my bed. That is something that you don't need to be going to somebody for every hour of every day. That is something that you can tell me, like, one or two or three times. Be like, I'm really annoyed because I just want to get over him, and he's just not treating me with respect, and et cetera, et cetera. And then I would provide, because again, there's no solution, because the solution would be he'll treat you with respect. But that's not a solution, because he's clearly not doing that and you can't control other people's actions. So me as a friend, I would be like, yeah, I totally understand, because you have feelings for him and you wish that it could be reciprocated and he would, you know, treat you X, Y, and Z, and I totally get it, and I'm here for you, girl, and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, there are some people like that that shove their problems down your fucking throat over and over and over and over and over again. And honestly, someone like that, like, to me, isn't, I personally don't believe she's even, like, human. I don't believe that, like, fully, that girl's brain and the way her brain works, like, if I didn't text her back within 20 minutes, then I was abusive. I don't believe that someone like that is, like, a full human. So that's just, like, a simple example of, like, an outlier. But for the most part, if somebody is just coming to you once in a while, or once every, like, few, they're your best friend and you talk every day, and once every, like, 4 days or something, they come to you with a complaint of, like, that they failed their exam, or their boyfriend was mean to them, or they had a fight with their parents, like, something. And it's not overbearing. It's not every hour like this crazy, crazy human being was that I wish I never met. You know, that was an outlier. But for the most part, if it's just like a normal amount of complaints and a normal amount of venting, you as an empath, you know, should be, well, I mean, not even me as an empath, but just people in general, but the skill that empaths are really fucking good at doing that most people, the majority of people, don't know in any way how to, sadly, I wish they did, is to just provide safety, just provide a safe space, to say something like, that sucks so much, dude, I'm so sorry. You know, I know what it's like to feel like you're just trying to talk to this person and they're not hearing you and they're not listening to you. And this boyfriend of yours is being a dick instead of listening to you. Like, wow, I totally get that. And I'm here. You know, something as simple as that, as providing, you're basically reframing what they just told you so that they can see it from an outside lens. They could see it as, like, not their story, but somebody else's story. Like, some girl with a boyfriend, or some girl with a failed test, or some girl with a fight in her family, whatever it might be. Your friend now feels safe. Why? Because you understand them. When people go to other people to vent, it's because they, well, if you're someone like me, you actually want a solution and you want, like, to change and be better. But the majority of person doesn't want to change themselves. They just want to be listened to. So go to your friend, your friend goes to you, and you don't even have the ability to provide some type of understanding that you're listening to them. That sucks, dude. That sucks. And that, my friends, is, this is where Rochelle circles back to the the whole point of me explaining all these various angles in my crazy, crazy brain. All of this is what it's like to be an empath, because you know what it's like to feel safe. You know what it's like to make other people feel safe. You know what it's like to make people feel less alone. And nobody, just like how Mary and Sheila, you know, Mary can never get Sheila to respond in an appropriate way other than, "Are you okay? This sucks. I'm sorry. I'm always here for you if you need anything." And then, whereas when Sheila needed Mary, Mary sat with her for 20 minutes, talked on the phone with her for 30 minutes, comforted her, provided support, provided love, and Sheila became attached to Mary and to Mary's energy. And I think that part of it, and it's like in their subconscious, is that people kind of want to be around what they know they can't be themselves. People want to spend time and talk to people and hang out with people that have something that they want to, whether it's a strong amount of self-love and self-confidence. You know, when you're around people who are extremely confident, and it makes you want to hang out with them because it kind of rubs off on you. Because self-confident people don't make other people feel bad. Self-confident people don't make their friends feel bad about themselves. Self-confident people tend to be fun and loud and just like make jokes and socialize with people, and it's a fun ass time, you know? So you kind of want to be around someone like that. You want to be around someone who's smart. You want to be around someone who's ambitious. You want to be around people who secretly you want to be more like, or maybe even the real shit of it is you know that you can't be that way, but you want to be that way. And that's why you like being around people who actually are it, because you know that you'll never be. You'll never be as confident as them, or you'll never be as in touch with your spiritual self as they are, or you'll never be as insightful or as wise as they are. So you want to be around them. But then I get that. That's understandable. People are magnetic. Energy is magnetic or repellent, you know? But what about that person who just wants to be listened to too? What about that person who's so tired of being the person for people to always go to for everything, and now suddenly they need somebody? What about them? Probably a really unpleasant sound to listen to. I'm so sorry. What about that person? They probably have nobody. And that's how I feel all the time. I have like 0 to 1 person. I'm going to be honest. I feel like Mel is definitely one of them. I have one other friend who I feel like might, like, sometimes knows how to and other times doesn't. And I just feel like shit after I talk to them sometimes. Maybe not like shit, but like, I just feel not understood. But it's like 0 to 1 person knows what to say, knows how to make me feel better, knows how to reciprocate. And that's what it's like being an empath. That's what it's like being an empath. I really have been identifying very recently how much I connect to ignorance is bliss, because I wish I could just be unaware of things. I wish I could just go to grab a cup of coffee and then go to the gym and then go here and then do this and then hang out with this friend and not think for even just like enjoy what it is and not even think. Because I feel like living in that ignorance is why, even for example, why children are so happy. Kids are so fucking, as a kid, I was so happy. I just like ate chocolate and cookies at my grandma's house and ate Oreos and watched TV and was with my sister and played Neopets and played with Barbies. And then I had the same best friends at school. And then by like, you know, the age where you start to hang out with your friends on the weekends without like your parents driving you, like I would just like walk to friends' houses because we all lived in the same type of neighborhood. So that was like 12, 13, 14, like middle school age. I was with the same best friends. We would go get ice cream. We would go get Uncle Sam's, which is one like Pittsburgh restaurant. We would all share like boatloads of fries, like sweet potato fries after school. We like probably all were like unattractive and going through our middle school ugly phase, and you're not overthinking the fact that you don't have your nails done or you don't have your eyelashes glued on, or if you don't look very nice, you think people are judging you. It's really, you don't even think twice. You're just enjoying having fun. You're taking pictures and you're not thinking about the fact that, you know, because middle school, like everyone posted Facebook albums. That was before Instagram was a thing. And so it's like you just take photos with your friends and you just have fun and you don't even think about it. And now it's like, oh my God, I need to look beautiful in every photo of me. And oh my God, retake that. And then you have to like Photoshop my body so I look like Kylie Jenner on Instagram. Like it's just so we condition ourselves to be unhappy because we become so aware. We become aware of the fact that, oh my God, what if this and this and this person sees that picture of me and then they realize that, oh my God, that boy suddenly doesn't think I'm attractive anymore because I look horrible in that picture. When if you just had no awareness, you were just like, oh yeah, that's just a picture of me. I don't look my best, but like who the fuck cares? You know, or like if your friend, I really miss the days that Snapchat wasn't a thing because like people take personal offense. And this actually could be my next, it was one of the topics I was thinking about doing about social media, about the issues that come with social media in terms of sensitivity and interpersonal communication and, you know, you not opening someone's story so they get mad, or you not Snapchatting back so they get mad, stuff like that. Or you not liking, this is a big one for girls because girls are fucking so sensitive and immature and petty. But like if you don't like their Instagram picture because you weren't online, they'll take it personally, like you purposefully didn't want to like their picture, stuff like that. The intricacies of social media, I feel like that's going to be my next topic. But when you're a kid and you have no awareness of this type of stuff with cell phones, and we didn't have iPhones at the time, so it's like, you know, we just had like the stupid little like flip phones, and like I remember not even thinking twice about the fact that I didn't text my friend back in 2 hours, or my friend didn't text me back in 2 hours. Like it wouldn't even cross my mind. I was like, oh, okay, they're probably like, you know, with their neighbors and like playing basketball, or they're like, you know, because I'm thinking of one of my best friends growing up, like she would always just like leave her phone and she'd go like play with her neighbors. Or if, you know, like my one friend was like very family oriented. So growing up, I remember she was always like doing what her parents wanted her to do, and them having like dinners, and she couldn't have her phone like at the dinner table, like stuff like that. But now we're so overly aware of why people do things the way that they do them, and when they're on their phone and when they're sad, and because, oh my God, they tweeted something. That tweet was a subliminal. So maybe the fact that I didn't answer them, or the fact that I went here instead of going with them and this day made them sad, and now their tweet is about me. That's genuinely how people think now. They think everything is, it's all about egocentrism, TBH. Everything is about me. Everything is about me. Everything is somehow connected to me. And because we're so overly aware, we don't fucking enjoy anything anymore. We don't, because ignorance is bliss. Not being aware, not being knowledgeable, not thinking, just doing is fun. Playing outside, going to get fucked up on the weekend, going out to the clubs, not thinking about what you look like, not thinking about being the least attractive or the least skinny or the least whatever. Not thinking that, just enjoying it is gonna make you have fun because you're not thinking. And that's why they say the people who think the least and the people who just do it without thinking tend to be the happiest. That's why assholes, that's why mean people tend to be popular and happy, because they don't think, they just do whatever the hell they want to do. But empathic and aware and too overly analytical people tend to be sad because we think of things way too much naturally. And I don't consciously do that on purpose. It's just the way that my brain works. It's how I'm fucking wired. I wish I couldn't be like that, but it's how I am wired. which I mean does have some positives to it, considering I am going to school to be a psychologist. I wouldn't be qualified. I probably wouldn't have gotten into graduate school and wanted to pursue psychology if I had, you know, obliviousness in my personality and everything. I probably wouldn't be qualified in any way. So, I mean, certainly everything has its pros, has its cons, but this is something that I really struggle with. And I hope that over time, you know, naturally you notice your personality changing and you notice things about you and the way you think changes. I notice it all the time. And hopefully one day I could just enjoy and I won't have to be like overly sensitive to people's feelings to the point that I end up this like energy tank for them. You know, this energy tank of like, Sheila always going to marry, Sheila always going to marry, Sheila always going to marry, always knowing that you're their energy tank. You're like teaching them that if they go to you, they'll feel good. If they go to you, they'll feel good. Instead of actually solving their problems on their own, but just gaining a little bit of support and a little bit of safety. Instead of doing that, they just come to you every single fucking time. And it's horrible. It makes me feel used. It makes me feel lonely. And it makes me feel like no one will ever reciprocate the energy because I have essential proof that no matter who it is in my life, they never know what to say. They never know how to help me like I can help them. And that makes me feel incredibly disconnected, incredibly like unable to relate to other people, and in turn, consequently, very alone because I can't connect to the people's thoughts. I can't connect to the way that they're thinking, like pretty mundane of, I'm sorry, that sucks. You know, like I can't agree with that. I can't understand that. And therefore, I lack connection to people. I lack connection to the average person. It doesn't stimulate me. I don't get them. I don't get how they can like not get how it works. How do they not understand what to say? Like it makes no sense to me. So that's really all. I could talk about this for forever and ever, obviously, because that is my current personality and the personality I've had for a few years now, especially 21. You know, I'm talking like I have it really, really, really bad now because I do, but even 21 was a million, even more times painful. So like, because now I understand boundaries and now I keep my boundaries very, very, very set. But 21, I did not. And I let crazy people like that one person overstep my boundaries and come to me as their energy tank and come to me every hour because some random boy doesn't like you back who's not watching your Snapchat story. What can Rochelle really do about that? What can I really do about the fact that you're contacting me every hour to make you feel good about yourself? You know, that's not even my problem anymore. That's just you using me. You using me as your energy tank. And empathic people probably aren't going to stay empathic people if people continue to use us like that, because it's just going to make us hate ourselves and it's going to make us turn very bitter and angry. And I would say that we're gems, honestly. And people with naturally empathic nature are very much wholesome and pure, kind souls. And so don't make us turn bitter. Don't make us turn mean, because I've even noticed it in myself and I fucking hate it. So don't use us, don't abuse us. Love us and appreciate how we know what to say and how we make you feel good. Appreciate us, don't use us, okay? So that's all I have to say for now. I really hope this resonated with someone, because if it doesn't, then I'm going to feel really freaking weird because then I'm just going to think that I was talking about myself to myself and nobody in this world agrees or relates. But let me know your thoughts. And as always, please contact me personally if you have thoughts on any topic I make. If you have any thoughts on this episode, on last episode, I would love to hear all your thoughts on my words and my life and what I share. And we can have a productive, awesome conversation and challenge one another. Follow my social media if you are interested in continuing to support me, and have a great day. Thank you again, and bye-bye.